Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Tuesday, November 25. 2025. We'll have a special show today because it's the fifth anniversary of Diego Maradona's death on November 25, 2020. A moment that really shocked Argentina and the world, as well. Maradona was a character larger than life. I don't have to go on and tell you how big this man was for Argentine history, for Argentine culture, let alone Argentine football and sports. We'll share a biography, we'll go over some of his iconic moments on and off the football pitch, and we'll talk also about what happened after his death, including his funeral, and the trial on the circumstances of his passing on November 25, 2020. This was still the first year of the pandemic, and Maradona was recovering at home, was actually undergoing a house hospitalization, recovering from an operation he underwent in his head for a hematoma. He was recovering from that at home. He requested a special situation with a medical team assisting him. And during the course of that recovery at home and not at a clinic, he passed away. And this is something that his family brought to trial, and the medical team in charge of his recovery are the main suspects in this trial that is going on now. Actually, it's going to start again in March next year, because the original trial that began this year had to be cancelled, was declared null, because one of the judges, this is bizarre, but it's actually what happened, one of the judges involved in the trial on Maradona's death was discovered to be involved in the making of a documentary about the trial, a documentary that was being filmed without the authorization of anyone involved. There were camera crews in the hearings, working without anybody knowing, and apparently this judge involved in this documentary was following a script. All of this came to light later, and obviously, as you can imagine, was a big scandal and was a massive shock for Maradona's children, who are the plaintiffs in this trial. Well, courts, the Argentine judiciary declared that trial to be null, and it's going to start all over again next March. So we'll be talking about Diego, and we'll be sharing a lot of content about him. But that will be later on. We'll start with some music by Astor Piazzolla from his Buenos Aires Seasons album, in which he has a piece for each of the seasons in Buenos Aires. It's called Estaciones Porteñas, porteño being the term for somebody or something from the city of Buenos Aires. And obviously, being through mid-spring in Buenos Aires, we are going to play Primavera Porteña, Buenos Aires City Spring.
RAE, Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
On this day, Argentina remembers Diego Armando Maradona, one of the most extraordinary, contradictory, brilliant, and human figures the world of sport has ever known. His story is not just the biography of a football player. It is the story of a country, of class struggle, of faith, of excess, and of miracles. A life lived at full speed, always on the edge, always incandescent. As we remember that early Diego, full of magic and innocence, one of the most iconic tributes comes to mind to kick off this segment. The song is Maradó by Los Piojos, a song that captures that neighborhood hero turned national symbol. It celebrates the Diego who belonged to the people and who never forgot where he came from. Diego Armando Maradona was born on October 30th, 1960, in Villa Fiorito, one of the poorest neighborhoods in Greater Buenos Aires. The dirt streets, the modest home, The Struggle of a Working Class Family. That was Diego's first stadium. A boy who slept with a football, who dazzled everyone by age 10, playing for Los Cebollitas, the Little Onions, the youth team of Argentinos Juniors. A boy who dreamed of two things: playing a World Cup and lifting his family out of poverty. Maradona made his debut professionally at just 15 with Argentinos Juniors and quickly became a phenomenon. Then came Boca Juniors, the club of his heart. And then the bombastic move to Barcelona, a transfer that didn't really work out, neither for Diego nor for the club. But it was in Naples, in the south of Italy, that Diego reached a mythic dimension. Naples was a city historically discriminated against by the north. And then came Diego. Little, brown skin, poor, brilliant. And he led them to the promised land. Two league titles, a UEFA Cup, and a bond that remains unbreakable even today. When we think of Diego in Napoli, we inevitably recall that warm-up scene around the world. Maradona juggling a ball with the joy of a street kid, to the music of Austrian band Opus's Live is Life. It's a moment that was pure Diego, relaxed, playful, impossible, effortless. A moment symbolizing why the world fell in love with him.
Bye.
Then came the 1986 World Cup, the pinnacle of his footballing genius. In Mexico, he became eternal. The two goals against England, played in the shadow of the Malvinas War that had taken place 4 years before, became simply a part of Argentina's identity. The first goal in that quarter-finals game, the hand of God, was an act of cunning. And the second, the goal of the century, was an act of artistry. Now, few songs capture that divine yet earthly Diego better than La Mano de Dios by Rodrigo, a cuarteto song about the boy from Fiorito who rose to sainthood in the eyes of many. By the way, this was Diego's favorite song, said by himself.
Fue deseo de Dios crecer y sobrevivir a la humilde expresión, enfrentar la adversidad con afán de ganarse a cada paso la vida. En un potrero forjó una zurda inmortal, con experiencia, sedienta ambición de llegar. De cebollita soñaba jugar un mundial y consagrarse en primera. Tal vez jugando pudiera a su familia ayudar. ¡Grande Diego! ¡Para el más grande del mundo, eh! Fue deseo de Dios crecer y sobrevivir a la humilde expresión, enfrentar la adversidad con afán de ganarse a cada paso la vida. En un potrero forjó una zurda inmortal, con experiencia, sedienta ambición de llegar. De cebollita soñaba jugar un mundial y consagrarse en primera. Tal vez jugando pudiera a su familia ayudar. Está por ganar. ¿A poco que debutó? We'll be right back.
Off the pitch, Diego also had rituals and superstitions. During the 1986 World Cup, he listened obsessively to a song that filled him with energy and conviction. Valeria Lynch's Me Das Cada Día Más, You Give Me More Every Day. For Diego, it was a soundtrack of determination, a reminder that he carried a whole nation on his shoulders. And this is another song people associate with him that we play on the fifth anniversary of his death.
En las buenas y en las malas, a mi lado siempre tú. De una forma sobrehumana, a mi lado siempre tú. No es tan fácil convivir conmigo, sin embargo siempre al lado mío. Mi buen amor, mi gran amor, siempre conmigo. Yo soy una insaciable, quiero siempre más. En las buenas y en las malas, a mi lado siempre tú. Al dolor le das la espalda y a mi cuerpo tu calor. ¿Qué manera tienes de quererme, de abrazarme y de protegerme? Mi buen amor, mi gran amor, siempre conmigo. Más, me das cada día más, aleluya por el modo que tienes de amar. Más, tú eres para mí la cumbre. La forma tierna que tienes de amar. Más, tu cuerpo con el mío no hace falta más. Te quiero al lado mío cada día más. Yo soy una insaciable, quiero siempre más. Más, me das cada día más.
But Diego's life was not only triumphs, he also was about addiction. A long, painful struggle with drugs that began in Barcelona followed him to Italy and then went on for decades. His battles were public and were brutal. He was suspended, hospitalized, and he was repeatedly saved from the edge. And there was also global fascination with Diego's contradictions. In the 1990s, Mano Negra, the multicultural band from Spain and France, led by Manu Chao, released Santa Maradona, a song that reflected the cult-like devotion he inspired far beyond Argentina, both the saint and the sinner, equally fascinating the world.
Yeah. devenir champion du monde de football. Devenir champion du monde de football.
After retiring, Maradona ventured into coaching. He led the Argentine national team to the 2010 World Cup. His passion was intact, his charisma unmatched, but stability remained elusive. He then coached in the Middle East, in Mexico and in Argentina too, where his arrival at Gimnasia La Plata produced scenes of pure devotion from fans who still saw him as a living miracle. And music continued to reflect Diego's emotional universe. Maradona's Blues by Charlie Garcia stands as one of the most poignant tributes, a melancholic embrace from one troubled genius to another, two icons who understood each other's fragility.
Diego's on my mind.
Diego. Pasado. Entre la oscuridad y la luz, yo sé que existo en otro lado. Yo ya perdí el auto. Como en el mar de la luz. Un accidente no
On November 25th, 2020, the news broke. Diego Maradona had died at the age 60. And Argentina froze. The world froze. Millions cried openly. And then came one of the largest public farewells in history. Maradona lying in state at the Casa Rosada, government house in Buenos Aires, with thousands waiting for hours to say goodbye. Many carrying flags, shirts, photos, rosaries. It was a farewell reserved not for an athlete, but for a national myth. But his story didn't end there. A detailed investigation began almost immediately, examining the medical treatment he received in his final days. The trial continues as the country seeks clarity and justice, because Diego's life belonged to the people, and his death awakened questions that still resonate. Today, years later, people gather in his sanctuaries, in Fiorito, in La Boca, in Naples. Diego lives in murals, in chants, in tattoos, in stadiums, in songs, in the collective imagination of millions who see him not as a perfect man, but as an extraordinary one. And so, on this anniversary of his passing, we remember Diego Armando Maradona, the kid from Fiorito, the captain of Argentina's national team in Mexico, the king of Naples, the father, the fighter, the loved and the hated, the vulnerable and the unbreakable. A man who showed that football can be more than a sport. It can be poetry. It can be rebellion. It can be salvation.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界。
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
And on the occasion of the fifth anniversary of Maradona's death, we'll play a chapter from the Sports Files YouTube channel dedicated to the 1986 World Cup that history remembers as the World Cup of Maradona.
It is rare, but some sporting events become synonymous with one sportsman. You can't say one without thinking of the other. The 1986 FIFA World Cup is one such event. The man who defined that tournament was, of course, Diego Armando Maradona. He would showcase his greatness and dark side as he scored one of the greatest goals in World Cup history, but also the most infamous. 1986 was a tournament where Maradona established himself as one of the greatest players in football history. But how did he do this? How did Argentina win the World Cup? This is the story of the 1986 FIFA World Cup. This was the 13th edition of the World Cup. Colombia was originally selected as host, but later declared they could not afford to. Mexico was chosen as the host. A devastating earthquake hit Mexico 8 months before the tournament, but the stadiums were mostly unaffected. Thus, they remained the host and became the first country to hold the World Cup twice after 1970. This was Maradona's chance for redemption after a difficult tournament in 1982. He had been fouled repeatedly and eventually got sent off in frustration against Brazil. This time around, he was determined to bring Argentina to glory. He was 25 years old and at the absolute physical peak of his career. Argentina manager Carlos Bilardo knew this too and made Maradona captain. Argentine media questioned this decision. Bilardo later said, "I trusted him because he was going to be the best player at the World Cup. It was my time to coach, and I trusted Maradona." Bilardo had initially struggled as manager, winning just 3 of his first 15 games in charge. His fortunes drastically changed when he switched to a 3-5-2 formation and built the team around Maradona. Argentina finished top of their qualifying group for the World Cup. Despite the good results, the defensive approach was unpopular, and Argentinians weren't confident going into 1986. Bilardo did not care. His philosophy was, football is winning and nothing else. The criticism galvanized Maradona. José Luis Brown later said, "Diego took the lead in our practice sessions, and when we were all gone, he would stay to practice. He set an example in all respects, and that's why we were proud to have him as captain." Before moving on to the main tournament, thank you for supporting the channel. I started this channel in January 2024, hoping to get 100 subs by the end of the year. Surprisingly, we have over 600 subs and 3,000 watch hours now. My next video will be on the 1990 World Cup, so if you'd like to learn more, hit that subscribe and notification bell. Thank you. Argentina was drawn in a group with Italy, Bulgaria, and South Korea. They opened against Korea. Argentina started well as Jorge Valdano fired home from a tight angle after just 6 minutes. In the 18th minute, Argentina got a deserved second goal as Ruggeri headed home a brilliant cross from a Maradona free kick. In the 46th minute, Valdano got his second goal when he tapped in a low cross from Maradona. Korea scored late on, but Argentina won 3-1. Argentina's second game against Italy was crucial. It was billed as the group decider. In 1982, Italy were able to stifle Maradona as they won easily. Maradona was determined to do better this time. The game started quickly as Italy were awarded a controversial penalty for handball after 6 minutes. Alessandro Altobelli calmly converted the penalty to give Italy the lead. Despite the early setback, Argentina played well, and Maradona strongly influenced the game. He was tougher than his 1982 version and was better at riding tough tackles. Maradona was rewarded for his efforts in the 34th minute. He ran onto a chip-through ball from Valdano and from an acute angle scored with a half volley into the far corner. Argentina continued to play well in the first half and should have taken the lead, but Valdano missed with a free header. In the second half, both teams had chances, but the best went to Antonio Conte, who hit the post for Italy. The game ended 1-1. Argentina was top with 3 points going into their final game against Bulgaria. Argentina again got an early lead as Valdano scored from a header after just 4 minutes. Argentina controlled the game from there and secured a 2-0 win in the 77th minute through Burruchaga. Maradona whipped in a brilliant cross from the left wing that Burruchaga headed in. Argentina finished top of the group. Maradona was repaying the faith Bilardo had shown him. Maradona had high praise for his teammates and Carlos Bilardo's tactics. He later remarked, "I had a perfect understanding with Valdano. If he went back, I'd stay forward and vice versa, and Burruchaga made his darting runs exactly when he needed to. Carlos had drilled that into our heads and things happened without us needing to say anything, like a carbon copy of the training sessions." The 1986 edition finally saw the removal of the second group stage and reverted to a straight knockout format. But it was a little strange. There were only 6 groups, meaning more than 2 teams had to qualify to get 16 teams for the second round. The 4 best third-place teams also qualified. Argentina's second-round opponent Uruguay was an example of this. They qualified with just 2 points and a negative 5 goal difference. Uruguay went into the game with a tough and physical approach. They fouled Argentina players repeatedly to try and break up the play. Argentina still had their chances. Maradona crossed to Valdano, but he missed a free header. Maradona hit the crossbar with a stunning free kick from 30 yards out. Finally, in the 42nd minute, Argentina were rewarded for their dominance. The ball deflected to Pedro Pasculi, who fired the ball in from close range. Argentina dominated the rest of the game and could have scored more, but the game ended 1-0. On the 22nd of June in Mexico City, Argentina faced England in the quarterfinals. The game would be one of the most controversial in World Cup history, a game that would define this World Cup and Maradona's career. The two teams were already football rivals due to the 1966 quarterfinal, but the Falklands War just 4 years earlier increased the tension further. Close to 1,000 died between the two during the conflict. The match was emotionally charged. The game was preceded with newspaper headlines such as, "It's war, señor." Before the game, fights broke out between both sets of supporters in Mexico City and the stadium. England was more open than Argentina's previous opponents, which allowed a more end-to-end game. Argentina had more of the ball, but the best chances of the first half fell to England. Peter Beardsley managed to get the ball before the Argentine goalkeeper Neri Pumpido on the right side of the box. This left the goal wide open. Beardsley then took an ambitious curling shot from the right wing, which just hit the side netting. It was in just 4 minutes of the second half that this game would become legendary. In the 51st minute, Maradona cut inside from the left, played a low pass to Valdano and continued running, hoping for a return pass. But Steve Hodge was there, who tried to clear it but miscued. The ball would instead loop backwards toward the English penalty box. Maradona and England goalkeeper Peter Shilton both ran for the ball. Maradona was 8 inches shorter than the 6'1" goalkeeper, but still jumped up to the challenge with a header as Shilton tried to punch it away. Maradona quickly realised he wasn't getting there first and instead used his left hand above his head to knock it past Shilton and score into the empty net. England players immediately protested the goal and appealed for a handball. Even the Argentina players hesitated before celebrating. Maradona later said, "I was waiting for my teammates to embrace me and no one came. I told them, come hug me or the referee isn't going to allow it." Incredibly, despite most of the stadium seeing the handball, the two most important people on the pitch did not. Neither the linesman nor Tunisian referee Albin Nasser claimed to have seen the handball. To the fury of the England players and fans, the goal stood. Argentina was 1-0 up. Maradona had gotten away with it. Do you think this is the most controversial goal in World Cup history? Let me know in the comments below. Just 4 minutes later, in the 55th minute, Maradona showcased his genius. He received the ball in his half about 60 yards out. He took two lovely touches which enabled him to dance away from both Beardsley and Peter Reid before driving into the England half. He then feinted past Terry Butcher, then Terry Fenwick as he moved into the penalty box. All the while, Peter Reid chased him but could not get near enough to tackle. As Maradona approached the goal, Shilton charged out. But Maradona fainted again before touching the ball past Shilton, and from an acute angle, Maradona toe-poached the ball into an empty net, as Terry Butcher made one last desperate attempt to bring him down. In 4 minutes, Maradona showcased his dark side and his footballing genius. He scored arguably the most controversial goal in World Cup history, followed by the goal that would later be voted the greatest goal in World Cup history. Maradona would later comment about England's defending, "I don't think I could have done it against any other team because they all used to knock you down. They're probably the noblest in the world." This goal would be dubbed the goal of the century. Do you think this is the best World Cup goal ever? England manager Bobby Robson was now forced to make attacking substitutions. He brought on both John Barnes and Chris Waddle. Barnes made a big impact as he terrorised the left wing. In the 81st minute, Barnes dribbled down the left flank and put in a brilliant cross that Gary Lineker headed home from close range. England almost repeated the trick. Barnes once again put in a wonderful cross from the left wing, and Lineker looked certain to head it in, but incredible last-ditch defending from Argentina prevented the goal. The game was over. Argentina had won 2-1. England was furious after the game. English media headlined with the cheat goal and a blatant act of cheating. Despite the blatant handball, Argentina showed no remorse in the years after the incident. They seemed to relish the goal even more because of the rule-breaking. Jorge Valdano remarked, "There isn't a single Argentine willing to say to the referee, 'Look, it wasn't a goal. We've been brought up to celebrate cheekiness and cunning.'" 1978 World Cup winning coach Cesar Menotti later commented, "People said, 'Great, better, much better,' that the goal was so unjust, so cruel because it hurt the English more." But this goal would forever be associated with Maradona's words after the game. "A little with the head of Maradona and a little with the hand of God. The hand of God goal." Argentina faced surprise package Belgium in the semi-final. Argentina went into the game with full confidence. They dominated the first half and scored through Valdano. But this time the goal was disallowed for handball. Belgium did have one golden chance in the first half as they intercepted a pass and countered, but the linesman incorrectly called it offside as multiple Belgians were clean through on goal. Maradona once again made his impact in the 51st minute. He ran onto a through ball in the box, and with the outside of his left foot, he placed the ball beautifully into the far corner. In the 63rd minute, Maradona scored another fantastic solo goal. He got the ball 35 yards out and proceeded to weave through four Belgians before firing it into the far corner. Argentina won 2-0 and were in the final. West Germany were waiting for them. The final was played on the 29th of June in front of 114,600 fans. The game would become one of the greatest World Cup finals ever. Both teams started well, but Argentina scored first. In the 22nd minute, Argentina put in a cross from a free kick that German keeper Schumacher tried to punch away but missed. This left José Brown a wide open goal to header it home. In the 56th minute, Argentina doubled their lead with a wonderful counter-attack. Valdano picked up the ball on the right side of the Argentina box and drove into the midfield. He passed to Maradona, who took a quick touch before passing it on to Hector Enrique. He then spotted that Valdano had continued his run and played a through ball. Valdano then slotted the ball into the far corner to double Argentina's lead. Germany, of course, fought back. In the 74th minute, Rummenigge tapped it in after a corner to make it 2-1. In the 81st minute, they did it again. This time, it was Rudi Völler who headed in from close range after a corner. It was 2-2. The winning moment came in the 84th minute. Maradona played a 1-2 before a beautiful first-touch through ball to Jorge Burruchaga. He drove into the penalty area and toe-poked the ball into the far corner. Argentina won 3-2. They were world champions for the second time, a tournament forever associated with Maradona. 1986 cemented him as the best of this era and one of the greatest players in history. Notable stats include 132 goals being scored in 52 games, an average of 2.54 per match. 2.394 million fans attended the games, an average of 46,000 per match. Argentina was the top scorer with 14 goals from 7 games. They conceded 5. Lineker won the Golden Boot with 6 goals. Maradona won the Golden Ball. He scored 5 goals and got 5 assists. Well, that was the story of the 1986 World Cup. Please do hit like, the subscribe button, and the notification bell. Thank you for watching.
Well, that was a piece that you can find on YouTube, on the channel The Sports Files, that has animations, like drawing animations of football history, World Cups, and important championships like the Euro included. And well, we shared this dedicated to the 1986 World Cup because, as the presenter says at the beginning, is a tournament that is mainly associated with one man, Diego Armando Maradona. And today, being the fifth anniversary of his death, we focus the entire show of Rye in English on his history, legacy, on the memory of his life and achievements and struggles and challenges as well. Walter Danesi was our sound technician today. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Join us tomorrow for a new show. Ciao.